The Baltimore Ravens sign Kyle Fuller. We talk about that and more next year on Locked On Ravens.
You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we've returned here with another episode of Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. Of course, we're here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Ravens your first listen of the day. We're free and available on all platforms, and we're back. And it was a big news day yesterday for the Baltimore Ravens, and they obviously started their OTAs. Those weren't open to the media yesterday, but the bigger news of the day was the Ravens making a move and signing cornerback Kyle Fuller. It's a move I really, really like. We'll talk about it really throughout the entire show. But here first, we'll get into just who Kyle Fuller is and the player that he is and what he brings to this team. And the second segment, we'll kind of next dive into the depth that the secondary has now, because obviously this is a team that's invested in their secondary for a very long time, and that has continued this offseason. So we'll talk about that. And then also we'll dive into what's next for the Ravens now that cornerback seems to be a pretty full room and they might not have to add anybody else, but talking about potentially any other positions they should add, and also answering mailbag questions. So again, so much to talk about here today. But before we get into it, if you're here with us on YouTube in video form, so you can see my face and my background, be sure to like this video, subscribe to the channel. It helps me out a ton. Our next goal here on Locked On Ravens, 2,000 subscribers. I'm hoping to get it before the season starts. That'd be huge. A big thank you to everybody who's already subscribed. I greatly appreciate you. And if you're new here or you're thinking about subscribing, I highly recommend you do so if you want daily Ravens coverage 5 days per week. So if you want those Ravens opinions, Ravens analysis, Ravens updates, we're here for you 5 days a week. But also, it's the same thing in audio form, same show, both audio and video. Thank you to everybody who's listening in audio form, whether you're listening on your way to work, from work, or wherever you're listening on your favorite podcast platform and provider. Be sure to follow us there and be sure to turn notifications on. And also be sure to follow me on Twitter at KOstreicher34 and the Locked On Ravens account at Locked On Ravens. So diving into the signing of Kyle Fuller, I'm very, very pleased with this deal. This is a player that I've had my eye on for a little bit throughout this offseason. And if you've been following me on Twitter, I put out at the beginning of free agency and kind of the few weeks after it started, just a list of guys that I thought would be pretty good fits for the Ravens and would, I think, fill needs for them, be great players. And on that list at the cornerback position was Kyle Fuller. And as the days went on, the weeks went on, the months went on, and guys kept getting signed, Fuller's name kind of kept creeping up towards the top of the list of cornerbacks a little bit, to the point where the Ravens signed him as one of the best cornerbacks remaining on the market. There were other very talented players out there too, such as Joe Hayden, obviously guys like AJ Boye, and I think a lot of other players, even like Chris Harris Jr. But I think that Fuller represents a player that brings the versatility that the Ravens love. And we know how much the Ravens love their versatility. Fuller can play both on the inside or on the outside. And Fuller has played a total of 8 seasons. Well, he's played 7. He's been in the league for 8. He started off in 2014 with the Chicago Bears. He played there for all but one of his years. He went to Denver to play the 2021 season. In his 7 full seasons playing at the NFL level, he's totaled a ton of tackles of 441. He's had 19 interceptions, a career high 7 interceptions in 2018. He made first team all pro that year. He was a pro bowler, had a career high, actually not a career high, he had 21 pass deflections in 2018. He had 22 in 2017. Now, we did miss the entire 2016 season with an injury, so he did not play that full year. But other than that, he has only missed, how many games is this? 1. He's missed 1 game since that 2016 injury, and even dating back before it, he's missed 1 game outside of that injury. So very durable player overall. And we all know the saying, I've said it tons and tons and tons of times on this show, the Ravens go into every year with like 80 million healthy cornerbacks, and they end up after the year is over having like 2 or 3. And so Fuller gives them depth, veteran depth. And I've talked about how important veteran depth is, but cornerback was more of a sneaky need for the Ravens. And it's funny, the Ravens are kind of stealing my content ideas here. I was going to put out an episode either later this week or next week about if the Ravens needed to sign another cornerback. And my answer was yes. So I'm taking credit. I'm kidding. But the whole thing with the cornerback position is they obviously have Marlon Humphrey. They have Marcus Peters, two guys coming off of season-ending injuries. Then who are you looking at? I mean, is Shaylen Amore Davis? Is Demarion Williams? You have Brandon Stevens and Ardarius Washington who could step in there. But who are the guys behind Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters? And you obviously have to be wary of the injury to Marcus Peters. I have confidence he can bounce back fully healthy, but you never know. So you have to take that cautious approach. Fuller, let's say Peters isn't ready to go until like week 3 or week 4, and Peters himself said he's not going to put a timeline on things. I think that's very smart personally. If he's not back until week 3 or week 4, or even he has to go on the PUP list till week 6 or week 7 because it's a 6-game absence if you go on the PUP list, I think that you have Fuller, a player who can play outside if you want him to. I think ideally for me, if everybody's healthy, you have your Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters outside tandem, then you have Fuller playing inside. And it's not like, oh, well, Fuller's playing on the inside. He's going to stay there for 100% of snaps in 2022. No, this guy's going to move around. We know how much the Ravens love that versatility, moving around. The Ravens in their base defense, they don't necessarily play base all the time. I mean, they just don't do it. So Baltimore has now multiple veteran options who have done great things at the NFL level. You have Fuller, who's played a total of 7 years in this league, has seen a lot. His season in Denver in 2021 wasn't really what you expect when you think of a guy like Kyle Fuller. A lot of people around Denver will tell you it was not his best year by a long shot, but it seemed like he started off very, very rough and it wasn't great. But then he ended up responding pretty well and played a lot better later in the season. And obviously the Broncos weren't necessarily great in 2021. And obviously the Ravens secondary had their issues and there were plenty of them. But I think now with guys getting healthy, I think this is a great place for Fuller to revitalize his career and kind of have a bounce back season, because I think this defense will be able to help him be able to maximize his strengths. And you now have the depth around him where for guys like Marlon Humphrey, Marcus Peters, Kyle Fuller, we've seen the cornerback rotations that this team likes to use, keeping guys fresh. And I think for Fuller, a guy who has been durable, he can step in and take some of the snaps from Marcus Peters when they want to keep him off of his knee for a little bit, maybe earlier on in the season, maybe preserve Peters for later in the year when he's fully 100% comfortable playing on, or whenever that is. But I think the signing of Fuller is a great one. I wouldn't anticipate it. At the time of this recording, the contract hasn't been released. I would anticipate it being not a super huge deal. And I think that's great for them, because cornerback was something that I kind of had my eye on and was thinking, well, you know, having Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters is great, but then who are you relying on if one of them goes down again? Is this going to be a situation where it's, again, young guys getting propelled up 2, 3, 4 spots on the depth chart? Look, every team goes through injuries, and I know Ravens fans know that more than most, especially over the past couple of seasons, even in 2021. I think that's the kind of climax of that. But I think now Fuller is a player that can just step in, play a really good role for the Ravens, play significant snaps for them. And in a division that you see teams like the Bengals have their top three guys of Ja'Marr Chase, Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins. You have Pittsburgh, who added George Pickens to go along with Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool. Cleveland with Amari Cooper in that division. I mean, this is a division. This is a conference in the AFC. You have Tyreek Hill going from Kansas City to Miami. You have Devontae Adams coming over from the Green Bay Packers to the Las Vegas Raiders. This is a division. This is a conference where you need plenty of good cornerbacks. You cannot have enough depth at any position. And the Ravens, I think, saw that firsthand, unfortunately, in 2021. So to have three extremely solid veterans is a great thing. And it even just goes into the secondary. It's not just cornerback. It's what we've seen this team do at the safety position too. It's all lining up for this team to have a bounce back year in that secondary, because we saw the miscommunications. We saw the blown coverages. We saw just the subpar play from guys who were getting signed to the practice squad, then called up 2 weeks later, maybe 1 week later, and having to go up against Devontae Adams and Ja'Marr Chase and Cooper Kupp and just star receivers. It was rough to watch the secondary play at times, just because you knew what they had going into the season, and then what the end product was in 2021 was just, it was so, so, so different. And can any team prepare for that amount of injuries? I don't think so. I think it would take a team that knew beforehand, like, hey, there's a real shot that we're going to have a lot of injuries this year, to really go and prepare for what the Ravens went through in 2021. And you can never know. Football is a game where people get injured. Every team goes through it. But the Ravens got hit harder than that secondary. They lost Marcus Peters before the season, Deshaun Elliott midway through the year, Marlon Humphrey midway through the year, Anthony Averett went through his stuff. You had other guys going down and missing some time, Jimmy Smith and others. But now the Ravens, I think, are well-positioned. You have durable players. You have players that are a bit younger. And I think overall, Kyle Fuller adds and maybe is the missing piece. You know, he's not necessarily a signing that people can say, oh, well, he's a top five corner in the league, but he's a very solid one, someone who fills a need for them. And I think now you have a top three trio of Marlon Humphrey, Marcus Peters, Kyle Fuller. That, to me, is a trio that I think is a force to be reckoned with, especially throughout the AFC and the NFL in general. But we'll head into our first break here on Locked On Ravens. Still to come, we'll talk about the Ravens' depth in their secondary and what it means for them bringing in Kyle Fuller. So be sure to stay tuned. Still a ton to talk about. First, though, I do want to tell you a bit about Athletic Greens. And our next partner does have a product that I use a ton, and I personally started taking AG1 because I really do care about my health, and I also wanted more energy as well. So what's really in it? Well, with one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole foods, source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. And I really wanted to get into this also because it's super lifestyle friendly. So whether you vegan or you're dairy-free or gluten-free, it is for you. It also contains less than 1 gram of sugar. So there are no nasty chemicals or any artificial things that could really harm your health. And it also supports better sleep quality. And sleep is pretty important to me. So it really helps out with that for me. And it's also, for me, important to take a multivitamin in general. And AG1. AG1 is a small multi-habit microgreen with big benefits. It's one thing that you can do every single day to take great care of yourself. So right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. 9 million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NFL Network. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/NFL Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. We're back here. Our second segment of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher, your host, still here with you on this midweek edition of the show, the Welcome to Baltimore Kyle Fuller edition of the show. And of course, thank you for making Locked On Ravens your first listen of the day. Be sure to subscribe to us here on YouTube and follow us in audio form and make your second listen Locked On Sports today. But the Ravens signing Kyle Fuller, it adds to a very deep position. And we're going to talk about their secondary depth now, because just looking at the players they have on their roster, I am very confident, I would say, in the secondary, assuming everybody stays fully healthy. Even if they go through a couple injuries, I think they are much, much more well-equipped at a lot of different positions than they were in 2021, even heading into the year. And that includes corner and includes safety. So Ryan Mank put out a very handy dandy secondary depth guide here. And he said the Ravens secondary importance, just list down the guys. So we'll go here. It's safety. This team has Marcus Williams, Chuck Clark, Kyle Hamilton. You have Tony Jefferson, Geno Stone, and Brandon Stevens and Ardarius Washington, depending on where you classify them. I'm going to put them in corner right now, but they're more like defensive back type players. So again, that safety trio, you have Marcus Williams, Chuck Clark, Kyle Hamilton, the depth with Tony Jefferson and Geno Stone. I mean, I like that position a ton. Then at cornerback, I mean, we talked about it. Marlon Humphrey, Marcus Peters, Kyle Fuller, Brandon Stevens, Jalen Amore Davis, Pepe Williams, and Demarion Williams, and Kevon Seymour as well. And I think for where the Ravens could utilize a ton of these guys, I mean, it's all over the field. We've talked about the three safety looks before, using Chuck Clark as that dime linebacker. You can have Kyle Hamilton and Marcus Williams in the back end there. Plus, now you have that shutdown corner duo in Marcus Peters and Marlon Humphrey. And then you have a really solid veteran who can play inside in Kyle Fuller. But the Ravens, I know the slot cornerback position has been a position of not necessarily need, but it has become a position of need over the past couple of seasons with injuries to Tavon Young. We all know his injury history and just how that went, unfortunately for him, where he wasn't available all the time. So the Ravens had to continue to innovate and come up with ideas of how to replace Tavon Young in the slot. We saw great play from Marlon Humphrey there. I think we could see more of Brandon Stevens and Ardarius Washington in the slot. It feels like the team really likes those guys there. So if you want to move around players, and if a guy goes down, in that secondary at the slot corner position. Let's say Kyle Fuller is the main slot guy, and then someone goes down. Like, let's say Brandon Stevens goes down, or even Marlon Humphrey goes down. What they can do is they can move Fuller to the outside. They can put Brandon Stevens in the slot, or Darius Washington in the slot, or whoever they feel most comfortable doing that with. And they can roll from there. If Kyle Fuller is their main slot guy and he goes down, you know, have the ability to move Marlon Humphrey inside, or you can keep him on the outside, which, I mean, personally, I think I would rather do. And you could put Brandon Stevens there or Darius Washington there. You have options if you're the Ravens. And I think it will take a lot more to exhaust those options than it did in 2021, where, I mean, by the time week 14, 15, 16, 17 rolled around, you were seeing guys like Daryl Worley out there and Kevon Seymour being the cornerback one, and like all these different things where you just never thought it would get to that point where you're thinking about this guy who came into the year not even on the team or is the cornerback seven, all of a sudden elevated 3, 4, 5 spots up the depth chart. But again, this is a team that I think has more veteran leadership this season going into the year. Tony Jefferson played a huge part in that secondary in the later part of the year, where a lot of people saw that signing late in the year and they said, oh, well, look, his first tenure didn't go well. He hasn't really done a ton since leaving Baltimore. What's this going to do for him, right? Well, Tony Jefferson came in and played some of the best football I think he has played in a very, very long time. The Ravens reward him by bringing him back, and I think that was a great move for him. And now they have him as an option there. And again, the top three safeties, that's not a debate. But I think now having Jefferson there, you have Geno Stone as well. The Ravens secondary has undergone a pretty big overhaul, all things considered. Safety position, you're looking at Jashawn Elliott now in Detroit, Anthony Levine retired. You have at the cornerback position, Tavon Young in Chicago with the Bears, Anthony Averett in Las Vegas with the Raiders, Chris Westry now in Carolina with the Panthers. Jimmy Smith is actually still out there on the free agent market. Now, I know he did say that it's Ravens or bust for him pretty much, where if he doesn't sign with the Ravens, he's retiring. But again, who knows what's going to happen there? It seems pretty unlikely he's going to come back, though. In fact, I would probably bet against him coming back at this point, just because the position is so deep. And when you look at cornerback three for the Ravens, I mean, who was it last season? Most people expected it to be Jimmy Smith, and then it really wasn't Jimmy Smith, and then it was Anthony Averett for a while. Well, I think Kyle Fuller is better than Anthony Averett. And Tavon Young, I mean, great slot player, one of the best in the league, but I think I'd rather have Kyle Fuller in this situation when factoring in everything, and that includes injury history. And that's not, I'm not ragging on Anthony Averett or ragging on Tavon Young or Jimmy Smith. I think those are all great players, but I think the Ravens upgraded yesterday by signing Kyle Fuller, and it really shows in their depth, in the people that they have. And this is a team, again, I talked about it, they have valued secondary for years and years and years and years, investing high money, or I guess big money, high draft capital. And it shows. I mean, you can go back to the 2017 draft when the Ravens already had Jimmy Smith. They had Brandon Carr. And what do they do with the 16th pick that year? They take Marlon Humphrey, and everybody's thinking, well, why do you take another cornerback? You know, they don't need another cornerback. And now how's that working out? Humphrey's one of the best corners in the NFL. They invest, they stack strength on strength. And that's not just secondary, right? It's a lot of different positions. Recent examples of that do include Marlon Humphrey. You can go to the 2020 draft when the Ravens took J.K. Dobbins, and this is an example I use all the time, where they took J.K. Dobbins and they already had Gus Edwards and Mark Ingram and Justice Hill, and you're thinking, well, why would they take another running back, right? I know a lot of people had that opinion of, why do they need a running back here? Why isn't it Denzel Mims? Why isn't it, you know, a wide receiver? Why isn't it this position? Well, J.K. Dobbins, before his injury, obviously looked like one of the brightest young stars of the running back position. I think he still is one of the brightest young stars of the running back position. And that's a big, big thing for them. Let's look to this draft, right? Let's go to 2022 when the Ravens at 14 could have taken an edge guy, could have taken a defensive tackle, could have taken someone on the offensive line or a cornerback or a wide receiver if they wanted to. And they took a safety in Kyle Hamilton, who was the best player available there. And obviously I'm still ecstatic about that pick, but the Ravens, it goes for the draft. It goes for free agency. They draft and they sign strength on strength while also addressing the needs. It's a balance for them. And I think that when you're looking at the secondary, it certainly competes with one of the best in the NFL with what they have on this roster. Now, again, it's a health factor, right? Everybody does have to stay healthy, but I think when looking at what they have, I mean, just looking at the top six guys. So three safeties, three corners, we can say Marcus Williams, Chuck Clark, Kyle Hamilton, Marlon Humphrey, Marcus Peters, Kyle Fuller. That is amazing. to me, that's amazing. And you have the other depth pieces, Tony Jefferson, Brandon Stevens, Jenimore Davis, Geno Stone, or Darius Washington, right? You have the star power. You have the depth. You have enough, I think, to turn what was one of the worst secondaries in the NFL and the worst in multiple categories in the NFL in 2021 into a top 10, top 5, top 3, top 2, even top 1 unit in 2022. Now, how far they end up turning that around remains to be seen. But I mean, look, I'd be flabbergasted if they finished as a top 20 secondary. This is a secondary that has, I think, too much star power, too much quality depth at this point. They just, again, it's the health. They have to stay healthy. Let's hope the injury gods can bless the Ravens in 2022 and say, you know what? We put you through enough in 2021. It's time to give you some rewards, and hopefully the secondary can stay healthy. I'm super excited about it. I think that the sky is the limit for the secondary, and it's a balance as well. Another thing I really like about this secondary is the balance that they have. It's not all young guys. It's not all veterans. You have a plethora of experience, a plethora of young guys eager and willing to learn, guys who have been there, guys who haven't. It's a balance. I think it's important to have a balance at every position of veteran leadership and of young guys who can play at a very high level. And also those veterans can play at a high level too. But it's one of the reasons I've been talking about getting a veteran wide receiver so much. I think it's important to have that balance there. And Kyle Fuller brings that veteran experience. He's a player that has seen so much at this level. And with him being 30 years old, I think it's great. And again, another storyline here that I actually didn't even mention yet is the fact that he is from Baltimore, you know, Mount St. Joseph graduate. He's someone who is coming home, and we've seen that we talked about reunion tours. Well, this isn't necessarily a former Raven coming back to Baltimore, but it's a former Baltimore guy coming back to Baltimore and playing in his hometown. So it's really nice to have that little storyline there. But yeah, overall, I think the depth in this secondary is very, very good. In fact, I'd go to call it phenomenal. This unit has all the potential in the world, and I'm super excited to see how it pans out. And it really, I think Kyle Fuller was the signing to complete the secondary. A cornerback position addition was one that I think was big. Look at that rhyme there. But I think that when looking at what Kyle Fuller brings, it's a perfect complement to what they already have on the roster. And Fuller himself, I think, can have a very big bounce back season, much like I expect the Ravens secondary to in 2022. But we'll head into our final break here on Locked On Ravens. Still a ton to talk about. We'll dive into what's next for this Ravens team, as well as answer some mailbag questions. So be sure to stay tuned. Still a ton to talk about here. But first, I do want to tell you a bit about Bet Online. And our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. And you can find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, which are still going on strong with the conference finals. You have Major League Baseball scores. The Orioles making some noise lately, some walk-offs. You have fights and even next season's NFL futures, which are coming out. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. So head over to the website today. Use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. We're back here. Our final segment of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostrich, your host, still here with you again. Thank you so much for making Locked On Ravens your first listen here of the day. Be sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, like this video. It helps out a ton. And follow us in audio form as well. That helps us out a ton also. And be sure to make your second listen Locked On NFL. We have a ton of content going on that channel over our network. But let's talk about what's next. Because, again, cornerback is a position, or was a position, that I thought Baltimore should have looked at, and they did, and I give them a lot of credit. That's awesome. But we're looking at now a team that has a couple of other minor holes to fill, and I think the two that we have talked about the most on this show and a lot of people have identified is wide receiver and edge. Now, wide receivers, I guess the one that a lot of people have looked at, obviously, with the Ravens trading away Marquise Brown and them not addressing it in the draft, and you see guys like Jarvis Landry go off the board and others as well. So now it becomes, do the Ravens make that move at wide receiver, or do they trust their young guys and go into the year with maybe 5 wideouts and an undrafted free agent as that 5th guy or something of that nature? So again, the guys out there, Julio Jones, Will Fuller, T.Y. Hilton, we've talked about him a ton on this show. If you want to go back and look at my opinion on why the Ravens should sign Julio Jones, or if the Ravens should sign a wide receiver in general, we have those shows in the archives. I'd recommend you check them out. But wide receivers, I think, the position everybody's kind of focused on at the moment, but one that I think is important is outside linebacker. And I went in depth on that on a show last week, if you want to check that out as well. But long story short, Baltimore, they have a need right now at edge. And I think it could be easily filled by signing Justin Houston and then you kind of wait for the Achilles guys to come back, such as Tyus Bowser and David Ajabo. And who knows when those guys are ready. If those guys are ready, you hope they are. But in the meantime, you're expecting a big year from Adafi Owe, Dalen Hayes, who missed most of his rookie season, Jalen Ferguson, who hasn't shown a ton. But other than that, you know, you have Vince Beagle, who the Ravens signed recently. They don't have a ton of other options there. So you're relying on Owe to have this breakout massive year, which I think he can have. I'm very high on Adafi Owe this season and what he can bring, especially in what I think will be an increased role. But I think if the Ravens sign Houston and really wait for Bowser, wait for Ajabo, and even if Ajabo doesn't even play in 2022 and Bowser can come back after 6 weeks on the PUP list or midway through the season, I think that would be enough. But I do think it seems likely, I'd say, that Justin Houston is back again. You never know. You can never really say it's happening until it's actually happening and set in stone. But I think that those are the two positions I'm looking at personally when I'm thinking wide receiver, outside linebacker. I'm thinking, well, they could definitely use another guy at both of those positions, in my opinion. If that's what they can do, I think they have enough talent that they drafted, enough talent that they signed, enough talent returning from injuries, that they can say, yeah, we're set. I think that's what they can say to themselves. So I'm excited to see what they do with these positions. And if they don't, I still think they're all right. But I know that I think an ideal last two moves, in my opinion, would be a Julio Jones and a Justin Houston, and then call it a day and kind of go with it from there. So we'll see what happens there. It'll be really interesting. But I think the Ravens, they took a big step here in terms of signing Kyle Fuller and just shoring up that secondary and adding that final piece there. But finally, now to answer a couple mailbag questions, we have two of them here to dive into. And our first one comes from Alex Schultz, who asks, how would you rank the top five wide receivers on the Ravens in terms of receiving yards this season? This is a good question because, well, what I'm going to assume is that he means like all pass catchers, not just receivers. If it is just receivers, I'll do that now. I think Rashad Bateman, number one in terms of receiving yards. Then you have Devin Duvernay, two, James Prochet, three, Tylan Wallace, four. And based off of who's on the roster right now, I'm going to say either Benjamin Victor or Mekhi Polk, five. I think those are, I anticipate them keeping five wideouts right now. So I'm only going to do five of those. But if we're talking all pass catchers right now, and I'm not going to, this is who's on the roster now, so I'm not going to assume they sound a veteran. I'm going to say Mark Andrews, number one in terms of receiving yards. Then you have Rashad Bateman. Then it is Devin Duvernay. Then I'll go James Prochet, but then we're going to switch it up. Instead of Tylan Wallace, we're going to go Isaiah Likely at number five. I think that's a really intriguing player that the Ravens can use in a lot of different ways. And also, don't sleep on the running backs. We could see Tyler Beatty come in at number five, or we could see J.K. Dobbins, or Gus Edwards. A running back could take over that number five spot. But I think that, obviously, Mark Andrews, Rashad Bateman is the wide receiver one, right? But I think the Mark Andrews is the top pass catcher on the team at the moment. Rashad Bateman has all the potential in the world. I love what he brings to the table. Him and Mark Andrews, I think, make a very good duo together. But I think the duo of Andrews and Bateman come in 1-2. Then Devin Duvernay, who's in line for an increased role. James Prochet, same thing. And then Isaiah Likely, who you just never really know how they're going to use him right now. He's a very versatile piece, and I'm excited to see how they use him. But yeah, I'll say Likely at number five. And then a dark horse candidate for me is a running back. So Dobbins, Edwards, potentially Tyler Beatty as well. Even Mike Davis. I mean, if they keep four running backs, it would likely be at this point Edwards, Dobbins, Beatty, and Davis. And one of those guys could potentially be a wide receiver out of the backfield or a receiver out of the backfield and put up some really good receiving numbers. So we'll see what happens there. But I do think that the Andrews and Bateman duo will account for a lot, and not, if not most, of the Ravens receiving yards in 2022. And our final question here, it comes from a feed of play, and it says, hello, Kevin. Thanks for the excellent show. My question is, how do you see the partition of the roster? How many safeties, corners, running backs, et cetera, et cetera? Thanks again, and have a nice day. Well, you have a nice day too, and you're welcome. And this is a great question, and we're going to dive into this throughout the rest of the offseason. But how this roster is split up in terms of how many players the team keeps at each position, it's going to be a huge question, especially as we start to head into the later parts of training camp and the preseason starts to get underway. Now, I'll go through each position. I'm sure this is not going to add up to 53 players because I'm just going to go off the top of my head and kind of give ranges for most of them. But quarterback, I think two. I think they'll have two guys, Jackson and Huntley, and then the third string practice squad player could be, you know, Anthony Brown, who's there right now. running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, I've kind of talked about. I think it'll be 4 running backs, 5 wide receivers, 4 tight ends at the moment. That could change if there's a veteran wide receiver added and maybe a wide receiver gets added to that and the tight end or running back gets kind of replaced. But I think for now it's 4 running backs, 5 wide receivers, and 4 tight ends. Offensive line, I could see anywhere from 8 to 10. The Ravens, I would assume, would want to keep a little more this season. So maybe it'll be 9, 10 guys on the offensive line in total. Maybe you could see 11 as well. I don't know at this point, but they have a lot of talented guys. They might have to do what they did last season with a Ben Bredesen trade, where they just knew he wasn't going to make the roster and they get a draft pick out of him, which was a great, great move by Eric DaCosta. On the defensive line, I could see 6 or 7 guys overall. I think they, again, the talent they have 4 veterans who I think can make this roster, 3 young guys as well. So 6 or 7, I would say. Outside linebacker, I'll go with 4 or 5, depending on if David Ajabo and Tyus Bowser go on the PUP list. It could be 6 if both those guys are healthy. I would assume at least one of them isn't ready for the year, if not both. So depending on that, it could be 4, it could be 5 at that position. Inside linebacker is very, very interesting. I'm going to say anywhere from 3 to 5. 3 on the very low end, because if you wanted to save a roster spot elsewhere and go with Chuck Clark, if he's still on the roster, as a full-time linebacker or dime back or whatever you want to call it, I think that could work out. Then you have Patrick Queen, Malik Harrison, Josh Bynes, and that those would be your 3. Maybe you put Christian Welch on there as 4, an undrafted guy as 4, and then you could have Chuck Clark kind of act as that dime linebacker. So I'll go anywhere from 3 to 5 inside linebackers. In the secondary, I could see 6 or 7 corners, I would say, and then 4 to 5 safeties, probably on the high end, though. I'll say 5 safeties. And it depends where you classify guys. I mean, how do you classify Brandon Stevens? How do you classify Darius Washington? It depends. But I'll say 4 to 5 safeties, 6 to 7 cornerbacks, and then 3 special teams guys. I think that's Tucker, Stout, and Nick Moore. So that was probably a lot more than 53 guys. But and again, it comes down to just a lot of tough decisions, a lot of tough roster crunching numbers overall. And as we get closer and closer to that, we'll dive into it. But a great question there from Ophita Floyd. Kind of getting the thought train there a little, start a little bit early, I would say. So thank you for getting that conversation out. I enjoy that little thought exercise. Thank you. But again, so much to talk about here at this Baltimore Ravens team all the time. Kyle Fuller coming into Baltimore, a great move for this team, in my opinion. And I'm excited to see what they do next, for sure. But that's all I have you here today on Locked On Ravens. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm gonna get back in tomorrow. I'll be diving into more Ravens content, of course. So be sure to stay tuned for that, and I will see you here tomorrow.